and that's your face. Especially pay attention to the corners of your mouth and your eyelids. Start to count your breath. Keep your mind up against your breath, as if you're pushing it against the breath. Step back from your mind. Take a small piece out of your mind in the back. Step back. And watch your mind. And watch it thinking thoughts. Like a person thinking thoughts. Like another person thinking thoughts. And we're gonna spend a little longer each day on this. Observe your thoughts. See what comes up naturally. Don't try to change them. Just see where you're at tonight. Please begin to block any thoughts of the future, any thoughts after the present moment. Thoughts about the past are okay for a while. Thoughts about the future are not allowed. now block thoughts about the past. Try to get in touch with a sense of relief that you are permitted not to worry about the past or the future. Just be here in this room, meditating with all of us together. No other thoughts. Relax into it, don't struggle. Now, please bring your mind to life plans. What would you like to do the rest of your life? What are the things you would most like to do? They don't have to be spiritual, but they could be anything. What would you like to accomplish with the rest of your life? What would you like to see happen during the rest of your life? The large goal, the uber goal, but what is it? Two or three goals, what would you like to happen with your life? And slowly come back to your breath. And then open your eyes, stretch. Some of the attachment class three. So this is a review of the class we did in Phoenix. April. Okay. Oh, we did some other programs. All right. I think it's a blessing to hear the original text. On the dance of the chogan, on the dance of the chogan. He's discussing goals which are directed only at ourselves, only for ourselves. Okay? So, is it enough in life that your goals should only be directed to yourself? And then he says, this is interesting. He says, until such time as you are devoting much of your life to helping others achieve their goals, you can't achieve your goals. Okay? It won't happen. Okay? I'm going to talk about it later. I mean, the karma to achieve your own goal is to help others achieve their goals. So it's not even possible to ignore other people and just worry about your own goals, because it won't work. You won't get them. See what I mean? If it worked, it might be okay. But it doesn't work. And again, as I said earlier, it's just so pleasant. You know, we all have hard days. We all have days when we have doubts. We all have sad days. We all have days when we don't feel very inspired. And if you just do that exercise of watching your own life and then try to think of somebody else, everything goes away. Everything gets nice. It's weird. It's really weird. Just think about somebody else's needs. And it can be very artificial and unfeeling, and just force your mind to think about somebody else's need. You know, for 5 minutes. And then suddenly you feel really happy. Okay? Even if you achieve nirvana in a lower path, he says, you don't achieve your own goals. You can't achieve. Right? You ignore other people. You can reach nirvana and you haven't helped yourself. Okay? Also a person who has achieved nirvana, achieving nirvana without caring about other people, okay? People keep asking us in the tours, on these international tours, you know, they'll say, if I just use your principles to plant seeds, to make money for myself, does it work? If I don't care about other people, will it still work? We had that question at Diamond Mountain like 3 years ago. It came up in the Madhyamikamakara. Chandrakirti asked the question. Master Chandrakirti asked the question. Is it possible to, for example, get financial success by giving others money and not care about them at all? You know? And what did Chandrakirti say? You will get. If you help other people achieve their financial goals, you will get money. You can't avoid it. It will come. So he's asking the same question here. He says, even if you achieve nirvana, which is what? You use the principles of mental seeds, right? You take advantage of the principles. You manipulate them. You know? You say, I don't want to have anger anymore. I'd like to be free of anger. So then they say, okay, then just understand that the people who make you upset are coming from your seeds. You're responsible for the people who make you upset. They are a reflection of your behavior in the last 6 months. Which is very frustrating, right? And then you won't get angry at them, you see? Because you realize it's not their fault. Whatever they say to you is coming from you. It's not coming from them. And then you don't get so upset. So you can reach nirvana that way. Meaning you reach a point where you never get upset in your life again. You're not capable of getting upset. Then he says, you're not helping yourself and you're not helping others much. Your own goals are not completed and the help you give to others is very minimal. Okay? That's kind of weird. Because by the way, you have to see everything as directly to get to what we're saying. Then he says, because Panja Shirita Mishita Yushisama Pandaya, you haven't eliminated the obstacles in your mind which prevent you from being omniscient, knowing all things. So what he's saying is until you can see the future pretty clearly, and until you can read other people's minds, until you can see what they did 20 years ago to cause the seeds in their mind right now, the problems that they're having, you can't really help them. You're not like a big help to them. So you have to meditate, you have to work on seeing emptiness, and then you're like a doctor who can't diagnose people. You know, the doctor says, I want to help people, but I don't have an x-ray machine, and you don't have the tools to help them. So he says you have to reach full enlightenment. The only way is to want to help them. Okay? Dena rabgyam chik la zekchan ni che gaptar te me gilam yajachan me par thokyam laryam chachi disente de tekwashan at solan me sinde gyase vichukama shine. Shine lagbhubhe deni pena. So he's talking about, I don't know, do you remember the ford? He talked about crossing the ford? I don't know. You had to lift up your own robes with one. Nope. You had to lift up, you had to carry. If you could figure out a way, you got a backpack, but you're also trying to ford a river, which is very common in Tibet because there's lots of rivers and streams everywhere, and there's no bridges. So when you come to a river, you have, like on the way here, you would have had to get out and wade through three rivers already. You know? So it's like, if you can figure out a way to hold up your robes and hold your stuff with the same, you put your robes up on your arms and then you hold your stuff on top of that, it's more efficient. You don't have to go like two times back, you know? Drop your robes off on the other side or something. You see what I mean? If you're going to go through the process of saving all living beings, you might as well reach nirvana on a greater way, on the greater way, with love. So as you are removing your anger at other people by understanding that they come from you, you might as well at the same time do it for everybody, like that, to save the world. And to me, it doesn't, like I said before, I don't think it takes a big, I don't think it takes much more effort, just think Harry and Sally. You know? As you do your good deeds, think Harry and Sally. Sally and Harry? I don't know.
Harry and Sally.
Sorry. That's during my blackout period, which was 1974 to 1999. Anyway, it doesn't take any more effort to say, I'm going to learn to put up with my husband, who criticizes me constantly, and I'm going to learn how to see that he's coming from me, and that will involve not criticizing people at work. And it doesn't take much more effort to say, and I'll try to thereby become an example. And then everybody will say, what's with you? You know, you seem to be really happy and you're relaxed, and your husband, what do you call it? He like grumbles at you and you're just like Teflon. They say Teflon, right? With politicians. You're untouchable. You know, like he can just blah blah at you and you're just smiling and you're having a good time. And he's grumbling almost at himself now. And then people are gonna take notice, you know? People are gonna say, what are you taking? Or, you know, what kind of antidepressants are you on? You know, and then you can say, emptiness and karma. You know? It doesn't take much more effort to do it for others. So you can be an example for others. And you don't have to do anything bigger than that. You don't have to buy a radio station or, you know, you don't have to, just be an example. And want to be an example. You start a movement, right? Start a fad. One friend will ask you, how do you do that? And you'll teach them the trick with their husband. And then they'll have two friends, they'll ask them, how do you do that? And then you start this whole little, we're in Bulgaria. And they were so happy, like the third day they're all like, oh, this is going to be a new revolution, you know? This is better than the old revolution. We're like, yeah, that's cool. And we keep getting letters from them, like, new revolution in progress. It's very cool. Okay. Devgabini. Pena Gurba Chiva Sashuche. Landene Kemperpa Nichi. Parche Sime Layam Gurba Sheshi Tisha. Sashubla. Lagdene Sum Shine Che Gurba Gurba. Then we talked about it in April, wasn't it? I just got a little camera that takes picture of all the people that yawn at me. But then they told me I'd have to stop yawning too. So there's a position in the monastery called Lagde. Lagde means, do you know what, you know, so you gotta have tea in the monastery. Everybody has to have like, 20 cups a day. And so the way they make the tea, they have a pot that's bigger than a Volkswagen. You could fit a Volkswagen in the pot. And so you make tea for, in San Jose, it's 1,500 people. 20 cups, that's 20 times 15, 3,000?
3,000.
3,000 cups of tea. Yeah. So anyway, it's a big pot. And then, Somebody has to clean it afterwards. And you're talking a wood fire. You know? So that means, you know, it takes like 6 guys to scrub the pot. And then like 3 guys have to get in the pot. And they're just walking around scrubbing it, you know. That's a lagbe. So they say you enter the monastery, you become the lagbe. That's the first job you have. And then you work your way up to abbot. Right? And then what? You're going to go to a new monastery and start over again? You know? So why waste the time? While you're in the process of fixing your husband, why not do it with the intention, the conscious intention, that other people will watch you and they'll Harry Met Sally you. They'll start doing what you're doing. And why not just have that extra intention? It doesn't cost you anything. You're still fixing your husband. So then just have that little extra thought that, oh, people will see how cool I am. They'll see my husband change. They'll see our relationship change. And then everybody will start doing it. We that's a novia revolution. So we'll start a new revolution together. You see what I mean? Okay? Alright. Dena domajine kenchen na jipo kenchen. So why not? That's Mahayana. That's higher way. Why not just do the extra thought? It doesn't cost you anything. Okay? It's spreading, generally. Okay. I gave you like 8 hours of sleep. I don't know where it can't be the subject. Okay. Dayan Logan Lay, Nabu Hawaii, that's a pulse of Chugya Pa. Logan Nogu, so what's all the Nunsin do? Keshi put the Roma Shep at the Pone. He's calling Lobden Shiksha Sanu. No. Lopale Jinma. It's a letter to a student. I forget who it was by. I think it might be the gardener. It's not the letter to the king. Anyway, he wrote several epistles. It's one of his epistles. And it says, Nidakori Gazam Kosa Chidipa. This is this cool thing. I saw it on Google the other day. I was looking at surfing movies, big waves. And somehow I got into Whirlpools. And they had. This is what I do when I can't sleep at night, is I watch big wave movies. But anyway, there was a natural thing in the ocean. Have you ever seen it? It's like a whirlpool. And there's some of them last for years or something. And, you know, they like suck you in and they just, the water is pouring over like that into this huge whirlpool. And ships get, oil tankers just drop off and you never find them. And, so Arjuna, if it's Arjuna, is saying the ones you love have fallen into the ocean and they've been caught in a whirlpool, right? And then they've gotten spun around to the other side of the whirlpool. And then you're still over here. You were with them, they fell in, and then they spun around to the other side. And you can see them, you can watch them. But you don't remember that they used to be with you. Meaning, you meet people in your life who were your mom, even in this life. Like I met, when I met Tisama, where was I? LNP. And now they said, this lady's name Elizabeth. And that's my mother's name. And then I counted up the years, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this could be my mother, you know. Maybe it is my mother. It would be likely, right? And then I'm like, but I wasn't sure. You can't be sure, right? So you meet people in your life, and they have been your mother. If not in this life, they've been in your mother before. And then you say, I don't believe in past lives, and that's dumb because you have a mind. Mind cannot be born, no matter what science says. Science is dumb. I'm going to write a better history of time and send it to Stephen Hawking. But anyway, I didn't have time yet. But they have this the idea that the mind rests in the brain or something, it's just silly. I mean, you could go home right now and look in your refrigerator and there's still that apple pie there, maybe. You know, and your brain stops here, but your mind can travel everywhere. The mind is not dependent on the brain. It may rest on the brain, or it may not, but it's not in the brain. It can go anywhere. And you can't destroy the mind. You know, you could put a nuclear weapon here and set it off and all the bodies would burn up and the minds would just sit there because the minds don't, they're independent. And you can't cut them and you can't weigh them and they don't have a physical substance. So anyway, it had to come from somewhere. It came from another ineffable thing before that. You have been everything to everybody, and everybody in this room has been everything to everybody else. Everybody in this room has been your mom. And then they fell into the ocean and they got twisted around a few times in the whirlpool, and then you can see them passing by, but you don't recognize that that was the person who was standing next to you a couple hours before. You see what I mean? So you just don't recognize who they are. It being logical that everyone has been your mom, everybody sitting around you has been your mother, everybody sitting around you has had their guts ripped out, giving you birth, and everyone sitting around you has sucked you at their teeth, right? And you just don't remember. Then to not go the extra step and think, I would like to start a little revolution, or I would like to be an example for other people, then that, he said, chalbor. Chalbor means shameless, okay? I take care of this elderly lady, right? Very, very beautiful elderly lady. She's 86? 86, I think. She came out of the door the other day. Like, I walked out and she like meets me at the door and she walks out and she's like railing, you know? And I'm like, what's wrong, you know? She's very graceful, right? She's like a princess in Spain, really. And she's like, then she's like, I can't believe it, you know? I'm like, what's wrong, you know? She's like, you know, my neighbor's kids, you know? I can't believe it, you know? They're like stealing her pension money and spending all her, you know, retirement money and wrecked the house. And I said, well, how old are these kids? She says, well, one's 62 and one's 64. You know? I said, how long has this been going on? She said, since they were born. They still live in their mom's house. And they have, they got through 60 years of life without doing anything. And now they're eating up her pension, you know? And that's chalbor, okay? That's like, come on, you know? It's shameless. We call shameless in English, right? Chalbor means shameless. Get your act together after 60 years. And then she was so indignant. It was really beautiful to see her. Who can believe, you know? Okay. There's nobody who hasn't been your mother. The previous lives you have lived are countless, so the mothers you have had are also countless. And there's no difference in the amount of kindness that the people around you right now, the people sitting around you right now, okay? Like, okay, yeah, Beth has been your mom, okay? That's not so hard. All the kindness that your mother showed to you in this life, she also showed you in that past life. No different. You're not different. It's not like In the old days, they paid less attention to their kids or something. This is same. Should mind. Get into your. Shada. Keep on remember doing the shikan, but shada in the same time. Yan Gashi, you did that same thing. Sentin Tanja Daki Ma Ginte, Maya, Maya Mamoshi Gopata, Lobby Shepe, so Yamna. So he says, some people say, it's not true that everybody in this room has been my mother, because if they had been my mother, I would recognize them. I would know. Some people say that. If they had really been my mom, I would know. Then he says, same thing, my young Lobby Shepe, Mamu Sipe. Lobby Shepe, Tsangi, Ma Mimbe, Gitsendu, New York. There's a lot of people in their current lifetime who don't know who their own mother is. So, like, I have a niece, an adopted niece, and she's 21 now. And she just found her real mother on the internet. She went on the internet and figured it out. She found, so like, she could have walked by her mother, or she could have sat next to her mother on a bus, and she wouldn't have known who she was. So Prabhupada Rinpoche is like, it's not logically necessary that if someone's been your mother that you would know they have been your mother, even in this life, much less your life, past life. Then somebody comes up with another argument. I don't have to consider all the potential candidates for my past mothers with respect and love, because that was that life. And this is this life. Okay? Like, in this life, they bug me, you know, or they hurt me, or, okay? Maybe they were my mother in my past life, but I don't see why I should repay their kindness, because now we're talking about this life. Now we're in a different life. Then learning can back up the same Lord Chintadam. Dalo Deta Chintadam. Ni Jin Yamba Chintadam. So, in this life, if someone helped you in 2010, and then they didn't help you in 2011, then would you consider them to be kind to you? Would you think they had been kind to you? You know what I mean? And if you would, then you can't draw the distinction between this life and that life. Someone's been kind to you, they've been kind to you. Doesn't matter if it was last year or this year, or last life or this life. Same. The Sajjan Tamje, Ma Jinchen Sharayi. Deitabu Ma Jinchen Nam, Kore Yasa Lomu Tumba Chika Pone, Dak Chipi Chita Chepani. So if you were to ignore their needs, especially like, I don't know, we've been talking about Eastern Europe, because it's on my mind, right? Like, big empty place as far as Dharma. You know, a big desert. Huge desert stretching across thousands and thousands of miles. And you just ignore them, you know? I mean, I'm in the feeling of what it feels like to go to a place where people have nothing. Absolutely nothing, you know? Spiritually. The Orthodox Church was good and it's gone. And communism had a pretty good code of ethics, and it's gone. And now there's nothing. It's just nothing. And so they live like feral cats. The whole, they don't know any better. I was in Mongolia, and we were walking down the street in Mongolia, and this manhole cover lifted up. And I was looking, you know, and it's kind of dark, and I was kind of scared. And then like five kids run out. Five, like, 6-year-old kids run out, and they're a little pack, And they run up to tourists and they rip their laptop away from them or they steal their purses and then they run to their manhole cover and they get back into the sewers. And they live in the sewers. And they're feral. They have no, the parents left them and they're like cats. They're exactly like cats. You know, they will bite you. They're weird. And there's like thousands of them. And so it felt the same. You know, like just the government steals everybody's money, and then if you complain to the police, they steal your money, and then, you know, if you hire a lawyer, they steal your money, and you can't do anything. If you call the judge, he wants a bribe, and if the other guy pays more, you lose the case, and so everyone's just sitting like this and not doing anything, because they're afraid, you know, to lose everything. So, what are you going to do? I mean, when you go there and you feel the vacuum, and then you feel what could happen if they learn something good. You see what I mean? They're like feral cats. And if you train them, or if you gave them something beautiful, they would get it. They get it. Right away, they like it. And they taste it, and they get all excited, right? Or you're just going to ignore them, right? Are you just going to let them suffer? You know, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Just ignore them. They also have the second largest nuclear arsenal left over from Russia that they're sitting on. Okay? I don't think we should ignore them. You know? So you take some responsibility. They have been your mother. And then you feel so good when you go to a place like that and you bring them some kind of hope. And you feel so happy, right? It was cool. And they're so grateful, you know? Pay attention to sentient punchy coin, that's a long trip to be done with you. So you don't meet anybody in your life who hasn't been kind to you, shown you great kindness. And it doesn't cost anything to make the leap to wanting to be an example for them. You see what I mean? I'm talking bodhicitta, right? And that's just, all that is I want to start a little revolution. Okay? So you're going to do stuff anyway. You do nice stuff anyway. And then you think to yourself, well, if I can become a good person and a happy person, other people will watch me and other people will try. And that's bodhicitta. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to go out and be a missionary. Or, you know? You don't have to go to all the planets in the world. Or, you know, you don't have to do that. Just think, I would like to be a happy person. And then other people will see me and they'll say, I want whatever he, she's doing. If you think someone has brought you up and taken care of you so that you aren't feral, right? Someone spent the time to make you civilized, then you would want to pay them back, right? You want to do something for them, right? They saved you from being a feral cat in the sewers. And then you would want to do something for them. You would want to pay them back. Deyang cheta le se dan komba la tuwa urwa la loa so jende semba cheyang jen soa sam yin mud. You could feed them when they were hungry. You could give them water when they were thirsty. You could give them money if they were poor. But that doesn't help them much. And it wears out, okay? You give money. I was in the business of giving away my money for many years. And it's frustrating because you go to some poor village and you give everybody money and then you leave and then 2 weeks later everybody's hungry again. So, if you want to give them something valuable, If you want to repay them in reality, teach them what we're talking about here, right? Teach them. So you have the, what do you call it? You have the best gift you can give anybody already. Once you understand about seeds and stuff like that, you already have the best thing you can give anybody. And just sit there. It's so cool when we travel. It's so beautiful. You know, I go to China and people say, Gershla, if you're going to meet big people in China, you're going to have to bring some gifts, you know. And I meet lamas and they give me gold boxes. They gave me a gold Buddha, you know. I don't know how much money it was worth, 50,000? It's a kilo of gold, $56,000 by today's price. And they said, Gershla, you better bring some tarkas with you when you go to China. You know, you can't just go to China empty-handed, you know. And I'm like, but I can't think of anything better to give, you know. Like, we're in Ukraine, and I'm like, I would like to offer them something, but I can't think of anything better than just what you're learning, you see. Because then it would make their whole life happy. That's like the most precious thing you can give anybody. Then to give them a gold Buddha along with that, it's kind of cheap, isn't it, somehow? It just seems cheap. You know, here, have a gold Buddha along with the keys to the universe. And I just feel stupid. I really can't do it. I don't do it. It's the nicest thing you can do for anybody is to explain to them how their husband is coming from them. And then they can be happy. You see? And what greater gift than to fix their husband? You know? No, really. Teach somebody how the problems in their life are coming from themselves, and then they just shut the valve off and they fix it. And then what more could you give somebody? What better way to repay someone who for countless lifetimes held you to their breast and gave you milk? What better way to pay them back? There's nothing better. And you sense it when you go to a place like Kiev or something. You sense that. Like you say, that's enough. I gave them everything. Yeah. And you feel so happy. Yeah. You just feel so... To learn this stuff, well, work hard. Somebody gave me a hassle like an hour ago. I know I didn't finish all the homework, but I wanted to, and I kind of did, but I didn't really. But I was thinking about it, but I didn't really, you know, write it all down. And I'm like, just stop it, you know. Whatever Sheree says is what you finish. I don't care if you finished it 8 times and she didn't remember to write it down. Just finish it again. You know? It's not going to hurt you. It's not like some terrible thing, you know? It's not like I'm making you dig a cesspool or something. You know? It's weird that you made me do. But anyway. You take it again and do the homework again. You know? Then you'll be qualified to give someone a gift which is more precious than anything you can give. I don't give gifts to anybody anymore. I don't send any birthday presents, almost. Because there's nothing better. There's nothing else to give. Give them the ability to be happy. What better gift could you give anybody? Dena masam chandinam devatam chandana nyapai jambhadam dinyatam chandanyam ninja ke. Then you can just think of those four limitless thoughts. Who's there? Something murido, maitri, karuna, murido, pekshana. I wish everyone could be happy. It's cool because you go to like a foreign country on like one of the tours, right? And you can do it. You can live out the four infinite thoughts. It's not some kind of prayer you're doing at home, you know. You go there, and you're giving them some way to be happy for the rest of their life. And you're taking away their suffering. Their husband improves. That's suffering. What did you think suffering was? You know? Was it something more bigger than their husband? I mean, you know, that's their suffering. Take it away. Then treat them all equally. Go everywhere. You know, go everywhere. We Somebody paid for us to go to Ukraine. We lost $20,000 to go to Ukraine. I mean, lost, you know? And you gotta treat everybody equally, you know? You go everywhere, you teach everybody. It's cool. Okay. We give it a little more room. Let me clear Kerry. Paksam kid. What's Paksam?
Personal responsibility.
Yeah, I will do it myself if nobody helps me. If I have to raise all them. Somebody's whining to me today that I wanted to go on a DCI tour. I said, well, Jingmei went on the tour. And they say, well, what do you mean? I said, Jingmei doesn't have any money. And we don't pay anybody, mostly. And then she's like, what do you mean? I said, Jingmei scrounges around and she gets, what do you call it, miles. She scrounges miles around the country. She gets 100 miles here, 1,000 miles here. And then she pieces together a 4 a.m. flight from, you know, the Blue Flick to Duke. And then she gets on a bus, you know. And everybody can do that, you know. Right? It was really funny. This trip is kind of unusual in connections. And then she missed a connection in your assessment. So you can do that. It says here, Paksam means, I'm going to do it. I don't care if anybody helps me. You know, I'm just going to get it done. And I'm not waiting for someone to pay me to go on to the next tour. You know, I'll work it out. By hook or by crook. You know, I'll get there. Mm-hmm. That's Paksam. If you do Paksam enough, they start paying for it. That's a weird karma. Okay. And I think we stopped there. I have an idea. So I was looking up, what was it called? I wanted to write satsang on the schedule. Because I like the idea of satsang. Satsang is this Indian custom where the teacher gets up in the evening and then it's like just a big discussion. He says something or she says something and then people just, it's just a big like, so I thought I want to spell it correctly because I hate Sanskrit that's spelled wrong. It's a personal pet peeve of mine. All you chakra and No, there's a better one. Sivananda. They misspelled the name of their center. Anyway. So I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look up satsang. Because no Sanskrit word ends in na that I remember. There's like one or two. So I'm like, that's weird. You know? So I looked it up. And it's in the Tibetan's ancient translators translated. And it was satsangama. The folk word is satsangama. And it means dhamma-dhamma-dhamma-dhamma. It means to, in the company of the holy. It's beautiful. That's how they translated it, in the company of the holy. So that's a custom, satsangama, is to sit together and talk about cool stuff. So let's do a little bit, and then I'll give you a break, okay? And then we'll meditate a little bit. So I want to propose a question. So like a huge percentage of the people, we go on these tours, we do 2 days of open talks in the city. Anybody can come. Like in Kiev, 350 people came. And we just did open talks. And then we say, okay, there'll be a retreat on the weekend. And in the retreat on the weekend, you get to break out into small groups, discussion groups, and you can talk about your personal issues, you know. So people love that, you know. And then, like, especially on this last tour, I would say that over a third of the people asked the same question. And it was, what the hell should I do with my life, you know? Like, how do I find out what I really wanted to do with my life all along? Like, how do I find my passion in life? You know, I heard this word over and over. People were saying, strive. How do I know what's my talent in life? How am I going to find what I really want to do in my life? What am I supposed to be doing? You know? Those of you who have found it, you know what it feels like to have it. You know? If you find it, it's so pleasant. I found it when I was 17 or 18. Like, I knew forever what I wanted to do, you know? And then I just happy my whole life. Because I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I wouldn't change anything, you know? And then, but you meet people who are 40, 50, 60, and they're like, I'm not sure I did the right thing in my life. And I'm not sure what I want to do in my life, you know? And on the tours, in the breakout groups, maybe almost half the people sometimes, they have the same question, you know, how can I find what I'm supposed to do with my life? Because it's running out, and it's getting late, and I still don't know exactly what I was supposed to do, you know, or what I would be really good at, or what I would want to do. So I'm asking you a question, okay? What do you think would be the karmic seed that I should advise them to do, to find their passion in life? What should I say to them? Anybody? Now raise your hand and talk loud, okay? Because the air conditioning is on. Maybe we don't have a mic.
It's not cool in this
one. Just talk loud, but yeah, go.
Rejoice in other people's endeavors?
I think that would be one. He said rejoice in other people's. If you meet somebody who has a passion, that's really cool. Like I was in, I don't know. Sometimes you meet a musician who's really, that's all, they know what they want to do and they're awesome. Or jet fire pilot or something. But they know, you know, they're really, they'd just be happy that someone else has found their passion. Yeah. Anything? Video? Loud.
Help people, I guess, identify people's dreams and help them achieve them. And yeah, in big ways or small ways.
Mm-hmm. Help people identify their dreams. Yeah.
Ask them what their values are, what they value in life. And then
yeah. I like the idea of conversation. Like, I was telling people in Kiev, take people out to Stamboul Street and just talk. You know, everybody has friends who don't know what they want to do. And then take them out and just talk and let them. Sometimes when you talk about what you think you might want to do, it becomes clear, right? Anybody else? Yeah.
I know what it feels like, and it feels like you're in a stream paddling with the water instead of paddling against the current. And so I just picture that, you know, sometimes I try so hard to be something or to work hard, and I realize I'm paddling uphill. When I find that feeling where it's just flowing, I know that's probably a good sign.
Yeah. It's not a struggle. Sometimes I define it as what you would stay up till 3 in the morning doing without being forced by your boss. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the Yoga Sutra of love, compassion, joy, and equanimity, and then the results of this practice will lead you to love everything that you do. So then maybe a person who was doing this might find out that they loved what they were doing or that they were drawn to what they loved to do.
Yeah, I think it's an option. I think what you're saying, Dennis, I like that. Sometimes I tell people maybe what you're doing you could love, but you don't have the seed for that. Right? Like maybe a lot of people come to me and say, I used to love my work and now I don't like it anymore. Like I'm an architect and it got old and I don't feel happy with it anymore. I used to love my work and now I don't love it anymore. The love for my profession has worn off. And then they want me to tell them which new profession to do. But then sometimes I think maybe they just need to recover the love for their old profession. You see what I mean? Which raises the idea of decision, okay? And I want to go back to the idea of decisions, okay? So a lot of people now, because of the economy, etc., they are faced with decisions. Should I give up what I was doing? Will Mead, right? He owned a tile company, and it just wasn't working financially. So he just went to nursing school. He's like collapsing this week from his final exam. You know, he decided to go to a different profession, right? And then people are asking me, should I be a nurse, or should I hang in there with the tile company? You know, and then in this system, you would help somebody else who was having trouble identifying their passion. And then we were saying in Bulgaria at the Ubit Vanf Lito. Where's the Russian guy? What's that mean? At the Buddha Ubit Vanf Lito. It'll strike you in the face. Okay? It'll hit you in the face. Your new profession will come and hit you in the face. Right? You won't have to make a decision, okay? So you have to try to... When you're trying to help people, you have to deflect the idea of a decision. Okay? They'll try to say, should I stick with my old job, or should I start a new job? You know? And then the question is defective. Right? You should help someone else find what they want to do, and then relax. And someone will walk up to you and offer you a new thing. And you don't have to... I have a lot of trouble teaching this to people, because they don't get it. Mm-hmm. In Taiwan they get it, I don't know why. It's the only place they really get it. But try to imagine a life where you don't have to make any decisions anymore. Okay? You're faced with two courses of action. Just help somebody else figure it out. And relax. And then the decision will be made for you. Something will come. And you don't decide to breathe. It's decided for you. And everything else could be the same. Just learn how to plant it, right? It's very beautiful. Like the whole idea of struggling with what you want to do is, you will never know until you help somebody else figure out what they want to do. And then it will come, and you won't have to decide.
So it's kind of like a domino effect, because you're asking us to help someone find their goal by helping them. So we have to tell them, well, help someone find their goal.
I like it. It's a good question. Okay. This is called the Guangzhou Computer Geek asking question. It's classic. It's in all the scriptures. Okay. So we went to Guangzhou, which is just on the other side of Hong Kong. And this was the first talk to this group in Guangzhou, in China. And, you know, they weren't allowed to read these things for 50 years. They tried to stamp out these ideas, and it was illegal to own the scripture. And so we're trying to explain, look, aspirins don't really work. If you've helped someone else with a headache before, the aspirin will work. And if you haven't helped someone else with a headache, it won't work. And that's why aspirins sometimes work and sometimes they don't work. Because they don't have anything in them that works. Then they ask you, what's the active ingredient? Then you say, but it's not active because some people take it and it doesn't work. So the active ingredient needs to be activated. And then they get it, you know. And then this young man, he raises his hand and he says, okay, let me get this straight. I'm supposed to help somebody else with a headache. And then that will make my aspirin work, you know? And then we're like, yeah, you got it. And then he said, well, how am I supposed to help them with their headache? And then we said, you know, you can give them an aspirin. And he's like, wow, you know? And I'm like, what's the problem? And he said, you think that you're going to plant a karmic seed by handing something somebody something that doesn't work, it's gonna make your Aspen work for you. And I'm like, you know, and no one asked me this question in 20 years. You know? And I'm like, he's like, any help you render to someone else, which is not explaining this stuff to them, is defective. You know? Even teaching Dharma is defective. There's nothing in it. He said, let me get this straight. You're going to give somebody an aspen and help them with their headache. You know the aspen may or may not work. And then you expect that seed to make your aspen work? And I'm like, God, I didn't think about that. And then... So what Anna's saying that logically, you would have to explain to them, the only way to really help someone else's headache is to explain to them that they should help someone else who has a headache. And she's saying it would be a domino effect, or I would say it's a pyramid scheme. It's a Dharma pyramid scheme. You know, nobody can stop. It's one of those letters they say you have to send it to some, what's it called, chain letter?
Chain letter.
It's a chain letter. You know, your yes is not going to work unless seven people help other people. You know? Yeah, that's right. But then I told the guy, look, your intention, like you, somebody's getting mugged. We talked about it this evening, right? Somebody's getting mugged on the street. So what are you going to do, watch them? I mean, you have to try to help. You have to run up and try to stop the guy. But you don't know that your action is not going to make things worse. Within your limits of your knowledge of the situation, you have to try. You can't just let the guy stand there and punch some lady. You know, you have to go try. Maybe he'll pull out a gun and shoot both of you. You know, which he wouldn't have pulled out if you just let him beat her up quietly. And but you have to try. The intention to be of assistance is what makes the aspen work. Mostly. I think if you really wanted your aspens to work 1,000% of the time, it would, you'd have to explain them about the aspen, but sometimes they're not ready to hear it. You know, many times they're not ready to hear it, you know. That's like you get up and give a business seminar in China and you say, people say, what's the current to make money? And you say, you have to give money to somebody else. And then some guy raises his hand and says, would that include you, Geshe Myo? Yeah. They don't trust it. You can't just pump it on people. You gotta wait until they're... You can't tell them you should give your money away to get more money until they're ready. Any other ideas about how to help someone find their passion? Because that's going to flow into energy.
I think learning to meditate well.
Yeah. Would help them find their passion.
Yeah.
Because they would clarify their thinking.
They would clarify their thinking and then not developing their own nar internally.
Yeah. What's nar?
Intensity, passion.
Oh, okay. Nar in meditation. Meditative intensity would be to personal intensity.
Or understanding, having a baseline for it.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a life force. When I feel the passion, it feels like it's coming from almost the second chakra. This idea of, so I'm thinking morality, you know, be true to yourself. So when you're true to yourself and you're keeping those morality, opposite of inner liking and disliking, it seems like your passion and inspiration just blooms. So be congruent with your own, to yourself.
I think in China it's the Dao Dao Fei Zhang Dao, right? Like to flow with the Dao. But there's a big thing about that in China, and I really like it. It's like, as long as you think your husband is complaining at you because he wants to complain at you, you're working upstream. You're flowing against, you're going against the natural flow of truth. And then that's harder, and it feels wrong, and you don't feel passion, and you're exhausted because you're fighting against truth. And then when you turn it around and you say, okay, he's coming from me, and I have to change myself, and that will change him. Then you're flowing with truth. They say Dao, right? Dao.
The way.
Yeah, the path, the wind. Then you are flowing with the natural way of things. And you feel passion. I think that's what you're saying. Then you feel passion and inspiration. And you're not struggling anymore. And it flows. And you do cool stuff. And you just keep doing cool stuff. Because you're flowing with the proper... You're not fighting it. You're flowing. That, I think, though, that ultimately... To flow with the Tao would be to understand that your husband's coming from you. That's all. And that would be enough. Then you would do the right thing. You wouldn't respond with anger. And then you'd be flowing with the Tao. And then your whole life would be easier. And then you'd feel more inspired. And then you would find your passion in life. Something like that. I like that. Anybody else? Yeah. We'll go for like a few minutes more. I like that.
Just look for those kind of things.
Opportunity. So Sierra's talking about people who are already exhibiting some of their passion, but they don't have the material means to live out their passion. And then you would find your passion. If some guy wanted to be an artist but you didn't have money for canvas and paints, right? Like, he knows he wants to be an artist. Or he wants to go to art school and he doesn't have the money. And then you supply the money to fulfill their passion. Rather than just helping them find their passion, because they already know what they're passionate about. But you help them, what do you call it? Actualize their passion. Cool. That's cool. Anybody else? Yeah. Loud.
I think it would be interesting to find people who already had a really strong passion for something, and then to do the same thing that you said about, like, the husband, convince them that something good that was happening is not out there, but also coming from them. Yeah. Because there's already a tremendous amount of energy when you really love something, but then it kind of goes into something small rather than sharing that with more people that can actually.
Yeah, so Anatole's talking about someone already had a passion, and they were manifesting their passion. So they were already an intense musician or something like that. They had found their passion and they were already living their passion. But those seeds will die, and they will lose their passion. Something will happen. They will get tired, they'll get old, it won't be so much fun to play saxophone. Something will happen. The seeds will wear off. And the sad thing is that those people don't know why they have the seeds in the first place. They don't know that it's coming from some kind of seeds. So they don't have any instinct that... If, like, it's the people's third album, right? It's always that. because their seeds are wearing out. And then no musician would think... No typical musician would think, I better teach saxophone to three kids. Or I'm not going to be able to make a $4,000. It won't come. If I want to sustain, you're talking about sustaining passion. If I want to sustain my passion, I have to keep reinvesting the seeds. So whatever passion I have, rather than narrowing it and saying, and just make concentrating my own next album, or worrying about why my last album wasn't so good, well received, even though it was great. Then their focus tends to get narrower and narrower on themselves. And then if you could do the opposite. The guy in Singapore, what's his name? He makes the cartoon. Johnny something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
a very famous cartoonist. I said, how famous are you? He said, you know Simpsons? I said, yeah. He says, I'm the Simpsons of Singapore. You know? I said, you're famous then. He said, yeah, I'm famous. And then he started to get less famous. And he didn't know what to do. And I said, teach other anime. So he did this thing, he arranged this thing at his house once a week. And all the young animators in Singapore came and he trained them for free.
And then the government of Singapore made him the animator of the country or something. Like, he oversees all animation for all projects of the government now, which is a lot of animation. So, no, so he did that. Rather than narrow it to himself, he expanded it to helping other people get their passion.
So, if you want to find your own passion and you are having a hard time, then you could work on the seeds by doing tonglen on somebody who can't find their passion, thus manipulating the seed that you have for not being able to find your passion. And then if you want to show somebody else, if you want to help somebody else find their passion, you can just teach them how to do that.
Yeah. Naomi said, a good way to plant seeds to find your own passion would be do tonglen, take away the suffering from somebody else who doesn't know how to find their own passion. And then you could teach tonglen on passion to people who had trouble finding their passion. And then that would be better than an aspirin. Because you would be giving them the means, the real means to find their own passion. To teach people tonglen about how to find their passion. I like, that's good. Yeah.
I was gonna say pray. After the Lama Chupa too, but I also have a question. So there's a lot of people, you know, kids especially, that have their passion, and I feel this now too, because I'm transitioning, where you know what you want to do, but you're afraid, and you feel like you're not good enough, or it's too hard, or, you know, like, my little girl wants to be an actor, my youngest, and, you know, that's like, I was an actor. It's a really hard way to live, you know, it's really, so, how do you work with that kind of rational awareness of what it's really like without being negative and feed this sort of belief?
I'll throw it out to the group, okay? I'll just phrase it shorter.
Yeah.
Let's say you... Uma Thurman came to my company before she got Dangerous Liaison. And her father, and they asked me to hire her as a secretary. He's so, every time he sees me, he thanks me for not hiring her. But you know, so what she's saying is that suppose the person knows what they really want to do, but it's a little bit of a dangerous path, like actor. Like it's not likely to be very easy or successful. So they have the karmic seeds for their passion, but they also have other seeds for fear or hesitation about jumping into their passion. So what would you do? I'm saying all this because hopefully I would like most of you to go on tours with us. Somebody's going to ask you these questions. You're going to be in a group in Buenos Aires or Santiago, or I don't know where, and somebody's going to ask you. You know, I know what I want to be, but I'm a little bit afraid, because it's not exactly practical and it's difficult path.
Well, it seems to me that based on what you've been saying, that the best thing you could do is to teach them the real causes for them making their career successful, in spite of any sort of construct that's in their mind that's potentially dangerous or futile in any way, or, you know, just teach them how to plant the correct seeds to make it successful.
Yeah, so there's certain seeds to find your passion, but then there's other seeds to make it practical,
to make it successful.
If you're experiencing fear, find somebody else who is experiencing fear and help that person get over their fear.
Yeah.
Like whatever you're experiencing yourself, that you don't want, do the opposite to somebody else.
I'd say that too. I mean, help them with the seeds for fear. help them remove the seeds of fear. But I mean, your question got a little bit into the practicality of fear and the usefulness of fear, but we won't talk about that. Okay.
Well, I was just going to say that sometimes people might be entering a work that's not necessarily... Like, my mother was very nervous when I decided I was going to be a yoga teacher. She's still nervous, actually. And, like, what makes me feel... I mean, I don't make a lot of money as a yoga teacher, but I'm very, very happy. And so what I've learned over the years through the kindness of my lamas is that I can turn anything I do, and you've been talking about this for the past 2 days... if you ask yourself why you're doing whatever you're doing, right, then you find a good reason why it can be for somebody else, and even acting can be like that. I mean, anything can be like that, right? So do whatever you're doing for somebody else, and then you'll be satisfied even if you're not making $1 million as a yoga teacher, as an actor or a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Mine was just more of a question, I guess. But okay. It's all right. So,
you guys need a break?
Jeff's the only one.
We'll do one last one, and then we'll take a break.
But this whole idea about doing something knowing that other people are going to see it, so say you had a fear of, if it was acting, then maybe what if you picked another fear that may not be so difficult and faced it and just went for it, knowing that other people would watch you try to go get through it, you know, like face the fear and just like went for it and did it, even though you were a little scared, knowing that other people would watch you attempt that.
I think what might be useful there, and then we'll take a break, then we'll come back and do more, okay? Rather than focusing on how it would affect you to be an actor, you think about how many other people would be inspired if they knew that acting scared you, and you did it. And then that would plant seeds in you to not be afraid. Like, you'd be an example for all the people who are afraid to do what you want to do, by trying to do it bravely. And then other people would see you. They would see the movie, you got, what's it called? How Young or Worse? Well, how did they... How do you guys
still
mess up my book?
It's called Dharma Protector right now. It's a working title.
Anyway, they made a Hollywood film out of one of my books, and he was the actor, so he got all this fear from acting. Okay. We'll take a 10-minute break. And then they would just have a few minutes. We'll do a short meditation. Have a nice break. Manny from LA.
Well,
San
Francisco.
San Francisco. But you were, I mentioned it. Yeah. I gave some teachings on the Heart Sutra in Man of Medicine Buddha in 18. What year was that? 1999?
February
1999. 2000. Just before we went into the gym. Yeah, that was going to be the last teaching.
Oh, that was 99.
No, it was 2000. And it was the last teaching of all. Then we went into a retreat.
Valentine's Day.
So it was very poignant, you know. They put a big thing in Mandala Magazine, last teaching by Geshe Michael. And like, I don't know, 300-400 people came, and we did the Heart Sutra very carefully. And so many, massaged the video into something that you could look at. Because this is like pretty rough video, I imagine.
It was like a 10th generation video copy.
Yeah.
The audio was able to fix up quite nicely with the video.
Yeah. So you can just close your eyes and listen. But I want to thank him, first of all. And then he's happy to make copies if you want a copy. And maybe we'll figure out a way to just put it up online. People can see if we're there online. That's your problem, you know. Hang on. Okay. All right. We're going to do a short meditation. We'll continue tomorrow on the same idea, okay?
Oh, you need that.
Sit up straight, close your eyes. Start to track your breath. Bring to mind someone you know who's having a transition in life. I think the most typical cases are college students graduating from college, people who just got laid off of their job, people whose company just closed, people who just lost their spouse. Bring someone to mind who's not sure of what to do next. Come and sit with them in their room. They are sitting alone in their own bedroom. Come and sit with them, invisible. Try to feel their uncertainty about what to do, desire to find a passion in their life or something that they really can devote themselves to, something meaningful. Then we'll do a Tonglen meditation for them. Try to imagine that all their uncertainty about what to do with their life, their inability to find their passion in life, all of that, those feelings, all that uncertainty, and seeking what they
should be doing with their life begins to gather at their heart as a small pool of love, like ink. And make a decision that you would rather bring that uncertainty to yourself and destroy it than to see them continue without finding the great love of their life. Having made that decision, then with each inhale of breath, bring that cloud of darkness out of their heart, rising up out of their throat into their nostrils, and then begins to flow through the sky, through the air between you, towards you. Let it stop just in front of your own nose. All their doubts, all their uncertainty, all their desperate desire to find what they were meant to do in this life, we draw out of them with each inhalation that we take. Then on the count of three, we'll take a deep inhale. The darkness will come into our own chest, to our own heart. And then in a split second, before you take your exhale, all that darkness is destroyed by a burst of light. One, two, three. There's nothing left of the darkness except some smoke, like cigarette smoke, just disappearing into the air. I think maybe the most important step is to look at them sitting on their bed in their bedroom, and suddenly they feel a great burden is lifted from them, and they suddenly feel some clear insight into what they would like to do with their life. And just sit and enjoy how it feels to watch another person be happy because of your efforts to take away their hurt. Just sit with them quietly and enjoy how it feels to have helped them, and to see the happiness in their face. And slowly come back to your own breath. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. Then we'll have a few announcements about tomorrow's schedule. Okay.